Well, it's true that a whole lot of people love me, but a whole lot of people hate me too. We're going to take you behind the scenes today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, this is Michael Brown. I am so delighted to be with you. I had an awesome trip in Italy and got a wonderful day of sightseeing in with our granddaughter and her cousin. So they were blessed in every way in Italy, the amazing sights to see, but being with the believers, the fellowship, the hospitality, and just an amazing trip. So I'm so thrilled I was able to bring them along, and the ministry went wonderfully, as I shared yesterday. So thanks so much for praying. The sightseeing went great too. I was as concerned about that going well too. Listen, on a serious note about the sightseeing, the Colosseum in Rome, a fabulous structure, even with all its current condition, with all the marble plundered from it or taken from it to help build Vatican or other things like that. And of course, there was treasure from the temple in Jerusalem. When that was plundered by the Romans, that was then used to help build some of the great structures in Rome, which is just an irony and a pain to think back to as well. But to go in the Colosseum, it's amazing. But it's very sobering. It's very sobering. Overheard one tour guide saying to the folks that in the mornings, and you get like 80,000 people in there. In the mornings, they would have the animal versus animal fights. And then they would have man versus animal. And then like around noon, they would have the capital executions. Those guilty of crimes against Rome that would be executed. And then they would have the most popular in the afternoon, the gladiator fights, and some of the gladiators were super famous in their day. But didn't mention at that moment that Christians there were fed to wild animals and killed in various ways. And you think of the massive crowds coming and watching that and that being sport. It just struck me, again, the price that was paid for the faith and what is being paid to this moment around the world for the faith. Another reminder to me to stand strong with the relatively small, light opposition that we experience right now in America. Oh, it's real. I mean, you'll hear some of the hostility that comes against me on a daily basis. Some of you face that as well. But we're not being fed to the lions. So be strong, be courageous, honor the Lord. This is a great day where He wants to use us. And He is moving. Despite so many obstacles and difficulties, when you're around other believers who love the Lord and you see how God is working and you hear about the long-term fruit of the Word, you can only be encouraged. All right, we've got a bunch of clips to play for you today, some things I'm going to read to you and share with you. I think you'll be edified and blessed. I'll be taking your calls, having some special interviews on the broadcast tomorrow. And thank you from the bottom of my heart, all you who've given and helped us so far. We still have a ways to go to meet our immediate goals, but so many of you have helped us, blessed us tremendously. Thank you for your generosity. And I know some of you really gave by an act of faith and even gave sacrificially. And those that gave and it wasn't a sacrifice, hey, your solidarity means so much that you stand with us and believe in this work. So together we are making a difference here in America, around the world, Italy, many nations, and among the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Oh, and don't forget, if you haven't signed up to join us in Israel, trip of a lifetime, February 25th to March 6th, go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Check it out right on the home page. Sign up as soon as you can, because this will be here before you know it. I mean, we were looking forward for months to taking Eliana and her cousin over to Italy here. And then last night, we're like, it's done. Of course, we've got the memories for a lifetime. But sign up if you can join us and be blessed by the broadcast today. Thanks so much for tuning in this special series of broadcasts right here.
fire we want, for fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
His name is Dr. Michael Brown. He's written 27 books, including his last one, Outlasting the Gay Revolution. He's nationally syndicated. His radio show is called In the Line of Fire. He is a cultural voice. I mean, he is God's voice in the midst of a morally decaying culture.
And Dr. Michael Brown, a professor and minister.
I want to say something from Jerusalem to the world. Mordecai will not bow. Mordecai will not bow.
Look, compassion often has to go against the grain.
Can you point to a single public utterance by Jesus Christ about gay people or about a gay lifestyle? Can you name one single thing?
I'll name three for you, Pierce. Number one, in Matthew 5, Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the Torah, but to fulfill. He takes the sexual morals of the Torah to a higher level. Number two, in Matthew 15, he says all sexual acts committed outside of marriage defile the human being. And in Matthew 19, he says marriage as God intended it is the union of one man and one woman for life.
I can't think of a better person to be on the radio.
Dr. Brown is a great academic, wonderful writer, fantastic debater. I know that if you want somebody to stand for the Lord and to stand on the truth of the Word of God and to do it with grace and humility, that Mike is your man.
Early this year, we did our first ever Vision Banquet. This is Michael Brown. I'm delighted to be with you, still in Italy, and I hope you're being blessed by the special broadcast, the special share-a-thon week of broadcasts that we've been airing. But we did our first ever Vision Banquet early this year, and I was thrilled. People left excited and full of faith and full of vision. I was actually surprised at how blessed they were being there with us, to be honest. And we hope to bring these to different major cities where we have our great listening audiences across the nation. And there were some different voices gracious enough to introduce us and speak on our behalf. You may have recognized the voice of David Benham at the beginning of the Benham Brothers. You may have recognized the voice of Sid Roth, Jewish evangelist, or head of Chosen People Ministries, Mitch Glazer. And it's a privilege and honor to partner together with them. One of my dear friends for many years, we were friends together on Long Island over 30 years ago, Joe Infranco, is a lead attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom, formerly known as the Alliance Defense Fund. And we've been on the front lines together of these moral and cultural issues, standing together for years. And I was so blessed when I said, hey, would you give a word to our listeners to let them know why it's so important to stand with us? I was so blessed when he called in and wanted to say this to you, our listening audience.
And Mike, in a busy schedule, I would make time for you anywhere, anyhow, because what you are doing is so key, is so essential. I don't want to overstate the case and maybe make, you know, others feel lesser by saying this. But Mike, I think you are perhaps the leading voice in the country in articulating these issues, particularly on issues like marriage and some of the aspects of the homosexual agenda that we are seeing. What impresses me so much, Mike, is not only that you address these issues, but you do so intelligently, compassionately. There's a sense of Christian propriety. Your communication style is wonderful. But you are addressing issues in a way that prevents the other side from saying, oh, look, another hate monger or something like that. You are able to articulate the issues so well. And that's why, frankly, you know, we think that what you're doing is so important. I think your book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, is perhaps the single most important resource in the country today on marriage. I would just encourage your listeners, and look, we're all tithing at our home churches, we're giving to various causes. I think that the support of what you're doing is so important that people need to give sacrificially. It is that important. There are just not people speaking on the front lines the way that you are. And I want to say on behalf of ADF and all that's happening here, we so appreciate it. What we do could not be accomplished, Mike, without the work that you're doing.
Thanks again, Joe, for those words of encouragement. Friend, to act on this, to stand with us with your one-time gift at a key time in our ministry, I can't tell you how important this time is right now. Give us a call, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. You can write, send your gift to P.O. Box 5546, P.O. Box 5546, send it to Ask Dr. Brown, P.O. Box 5546, Concord, North Carolina, 28027. Or you can give online, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Just click on Donate. My gift for your gift of any size, my gift of appreciation, Seven Secrets of the Real Messiah, a great eye-opening mini book. And you know, God's made me to be in the hot seat, secular TV. You heard at the beginning of the broadcast a clip from when I was on Piers Morgan. This was about 2.5 years ago. Been on different shows like this over the years. This particular broadcast, it was after the Duck Dynasty controversy and statements that Phil Robertson had made about homosexuality. And I was invited on the broadcast, part of a panel discussion. So let's take you into that show with Piers Morgan.
Joining me now is CNN political commentators Ben Ferguson and Mark Lamont Hill, and Michael Brown, the radio host of The Line of Fire and the author of A Queer Thing Happened to America. Welcome to all of you. Okay, so this thing has caught fire today, and it's much more than just about Duck Dynasty. Let me start with you, Ben Ferguson, because Bill O'Reilly, of all people, has tonight come out and said, Mr. Robertson, I believe, made a mistake by the condemnation line, and here's why. It's not about the Bible or believing or not believing in the Bible. It's about singling out a group. It could be anyone, and saying to that group, hey, you're not worthy in the eyes of the Lord because of who you are. And Mr. O'Reilly, I've never been your biggest fan, but I salute you for that, because that surely is what this is really about, Ben Ferguson. It's about targeting gays in America and saying you are not worthy in the eyes of the Lord.
I don't think so at all. And if you actually look at what he said in the article in GQ, he also named about 11 other sins that you're selectively deciding to leave out. He was asked, what are sins in this country? And he listed significant ones, including greed, including lying, including stealing. And those were in the same list. So I think this is an issue of GQ magazine choosing to highlight this one to try to start some massive war over a guy that is not very articulate. He is incredibly blunt, but I think the way he said it was,
Wait. He is articulate, because actually TMZ unearthed a sermon he made in 2010 in Pennsylvania. And in part of that sermon, he says this: women with women, men with men, they committed indecent acts with one another, and they received in themselves a due penalty for their perversions, their school of murder, envy, strife, hatred. They are insolent, arrogant, God-haters. They are heartless, they are faithless, they are senseless, they are ruthless. They invent ways of doing evil. That's what you have 245 years roughly after your forefathers founded the country. What are you going to do, Pennsylvania? Just run with them? You're going to die? Mark Lamont Hill, this guy is just a bigot. Isn't he?
It's absolutely clear that he is a bigot. And this isn't the case of him listing 11 sins and gay just happened to be on the list. The centerpiece of the conversation were gay and lesbian people. And then he compared them to other things, including bestiality. And now when you add this 2010 sermon to it, it is absolutely disturbing and disgusting that he's using Christianity as an excuse, as a pretext for really just being a hate monger.
He did not equate being gay with bestiality. He said in that same statement, if you actually read it and stop trying to fabricate, there's a connection. He never connected
the statement so there can be absolute clarity. It seems to me a vagina as a man would be more desirable than a man's anus. Start with homosexual behavior and morph out from there. Bestiality, sleeping around with this woman and that woman, and those men, it's not right. He is condemning, forget what else he's condemning a homosexual behavior.
Yeah, as the Lord opens up more doors in his timing, I'm sure we'll be doing shows like that more and more. But you say, well, what kind of responses do you get from people? What's it like, Mike? Well, how about this? On my Facebook page, you are the perfect example of someone that every race can't wait to see die slow, painfully. You're an idiot. I hope you die slowly from pancreatic cancer. Yeah. Then on our YouTube channel, where the Piers Morgan video was posted, homepage to right-wing nut control freak. And then this, posted on social media about me. Crackpot right-wing neo-Nazi using the Bible to spread hatred. Jesus was about love, not hate. And then this one. You are quite possibly one of the stupidest men on the face of the earth. You are no less dangerous than Hitler, and you are a threat to society. Yeah, friends, this is what comes my way for taking the stands that we take. How about this? It's people like this so-called doctor, what is wrong with the world. People like him need to be bound and tied by their hands and feet, beaten repeatedly in the head with their book of fairy tales until they are twitching from never damage. They misspelled nerve. Twitching from never damage and bleeding profusely from their ignorant heads. This comes our way on a daily basis. I don't mind it at all. I'm called to it. I pray for those folks. Financial pressure can weigh on me. This stuff doesn't weigh on me because I'm called to be on these front lines. And as you help with your gifts, it lifts that other pressure off so I can concentrate on the things that God's called me to concentrate on. And together, we can make a difference in literally touching millions of lives.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
How much do I believe in the ministry of Dr. Brown? Perhaps my most valuable treasure, or one of them, certainly top three or four, my youngest daughter, Dylan. When she was praying and seeking God about what she should choose for an educational course in her life after she graduated high school, she came to Fire School. She got married. Her and her husband, Joe, came. Dylan graduated. She's now back with us. She's on fire for the Lord. She's just incredible what she learned here. I had a chance to come down and speak at classes and be involved with the church. And I have to say, brothers and sisters, I run a ministry, so I know how important resources are. And people often ask me, who should I contribute to? I can say with 100% certainty, and it's great for me to be this bold because I'm not profiting from it, so I can really go for it, is the ministry of Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, thank you. That was Reverend Pat Mahoney, leader of the Christian Defense Coalition, on the front lines fearlessly for life and righteousness these decades. Thank you for that endorsement. Thank you for entrusting your daughter to us. She's doing a great job with her husband, also from the School of Ministry. All right, I want to take you back into the Pierce Morgan broadcast. We're on the front lines, friends. We are making a difference.
First, he did express things in a rather crude way, but what you got very upset about, quoting from his message in Pennsylvania, that was mainly the words of Paul in Romans, the first chapter. It's not bigoted to say that God designed a man to be with a woman. It's not bigoted to say that sexual acts outside of male-female marriage are prohibited in Scripture. We could debate that. It's not bigoted to say it. To me, what's bigoted is that he gets fired. Look, you have reality TV shows celebrating polygamy, celebrating polyamory, celebrating teen sex, gay kids losing their virginity as teenagers on Glee. That's fine. That's not a problem. That's to be celebrated. When he says, you know, I'm a Bible thumper. I hold to biblical values. I believe a man was made by God to be with a woman, and I hold to these things. How is that bigoted? How is that basis for being fired from a show?
I hear this a lot from so-called Christian. Well, wait a minute. I hear this a lot from so-called Christians. I'm a Christian. I'm a Catholic. And I can look at the Bible and say parts of it are obviously utterly ridiculous. There is a part of the Bible that says if you as a woman are not a virgin on your wedding night, you should be stoned to death. Clearly, that is not what Mr. Robertson is espousing today, because he would know that is ridiculous. There are lots of offensive things in the Bible. But let me ask you this, sir. As a Christian man, can you point to a single public utterance by Jesus Christ, the Christ in Christianity, about gay people or about a gay lifestyle? Can you name one single thing?
I'll name three for you, Pierce. Number one, in Matthew 5, Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the Torah, but to fulfill. He takes the sexual morals of the Torah to a higher level. Number two, in Matthew 15, he says all sexual acts committed outside of marriage defile the human being. And in Matthew 19, he says marriage as God intended it is the union of one man and one woman for life. Look, Jesus did not address wife beating or heroin shooting, but we don't use that argument for silence. But in point of fact, he, as a first century Jew, of course he reinforced these things. And Pierce, right. I'd encourage you to restudy what Scripture says. We should love our neighbors ourselves, but that doesn't mean that we approve
Pierce.
Everything of our neighbor.
Yeah, but there are several problems Pierce. With that interpretation. One,
Martin Lamont Hill first.
One, the New Testament absolutely does offer the words and the voice of Jesus, and he very explicitly does not talk about being gay. And even the Scripture you cited about marriage is very different than talking about being gay. And even if you say that he...
It's marriage is one man and one woman, though, sir.
Let me finish. I heard everything you said. I just want to respond to it. When you say, if you're saying that he's confirming the Old Testament, well, the Old Testament is far from clear around gay marriage or around gay acts.
Are you sure about that?
If you let me finish, I'll tell you how I'm sure about it. The book of Leviticus, according to most biblical scholars, is not about being gay. If you talk about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, for example, it's really about being inhospitable to neighbors. It's about prostitution. It's about many other things.
Leviticus 18, Hebrew scholarship is my background. I have a PhD in Semitic languages.
Absolutely.
Leviticus 18 is quite explicit. For a man to lie with a man is contrary to what God intended.
Right,
rectum is part of the disposal system. It's not meant for sexuality. God designed a man to be with a woman. That's pretty obvious. That's not hateful to say it. That's obvious.
And really, the Hebrew scriptures are clear on this, sir. Wait a minute. Let me just say this. It wasn't just what he said about gays. Deeply offensive, though, I find what he said, and many other people do. I can still understand people say, well, you know, it's my religious belief that homosexuality is a sin. I think it's a load of absolute fooey in the modern age to be so bigoted, but if that's what people want to do, that's fine. What I find more reprehensible than that was what he said about African Americans. And he said this, I never heard one of them. This is what he's talking about when he was in the cotton fields. I never heard one of them, one black person, say, I tell you what, those doggone white people, not a word, pre-entitlement, pre-welfare, you say, were they happy? They were godly. They were happy. No one was singing the blues. This guy needs to go and watch 12 Years a Slave, doesn't he, Martin Lamont Hill?
Or just have common sense. I mean, it's an absurd idea here that somehow blacks weren't complaining. It's just ridiculous. I mean, for me, this is someone who's clearly bigoted, someone who clearly doesn't have a sense of history, and someone who represents, quite honestly, a mindset that isn't exclusive to him. There are many people in America who believe this, but corporations have a right to say, we don't want to stand next to this type of person.
Ben Ferguson, respond directly to what he said about African Americans. I mean, surely you must find that deeply offensive.
Look, I don't think that that's the reality that most people were around. From his perspective, I can't call him a liar if he never heard someone that didn't say that to him. And let's be honest, this guy lives in the backwoods, and he very well may believe this. That doesn't mean that he's going to lie to the American people about it. But I go back to the core of this
pre-entitlement,
tonight.
Pre-entitlement. Pre-welfare. You say, were they happy? They were happy. No one was singing the blues. But once those black people in America got entitlement and welfare, whoa!
Here's the outrageous thing here.
The best part of that quote is that black people actually invented the blues, and they invented the blues literally as a response to social misery, the very social misery that he's suggesting didn't exist, pre-entitlement, pre-welfare. It's absolutely ridiculous.
But here's what's more ridiculous. The media has not been focusing on this. What's really outrageous is that those comments are not the ones that got him booted off A&E. GLAAD and HRC and these others immediately took exception to the other things. So, Pierce, if we wanted to discuss this and see, wow, we know his perspective. He considered himself one of them. He was working with them. That's his perspective. Sounds very odd to me. I agree. I would never say that. But the fact is, that's not where the outcry was. That shows us the extraordinary bias against a Christian holding to a biblical view of marriage and sexuality.
It's not a biblical view of marriage.
Okay. Show me one example of gay marriage in the Bible. But then he also talks about men sleeping with other women. Where are all the heterosexual men calling in and complaining and saying, look, he said if I sleep around with other women, that's like bestiality. Why is it that only one group responds this particular way? Why is it that homosexuality can be celebrated on the media, that polygamy, polyamory can be celebrated in the media, and when someone says, I take issue with it morally and I believe God designed
nobody
a man to be with a woman, he gets booted off of A&E. How can that possibly be?
He didn't just take a moral issue.
Dr. Brown, nobody is celebrating being gay.
All right, we are out of time. If you appreciate what we're doing, if you say, Mike, yes and amen, I'm with you, I appreciate you, stand with us today in a tangible way with a financial gift, 1-800-278-9978. This is simply to enable us to do what we're doing here on radio and touch many more. 1-800-278-9978. 278-9978 or online askdrbrown.org. Click on donate. We've got a special book, a mini book, Seven Secrets of the Real Messiah, coming your way.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Shalom from Israel.
Dr. Brown, we wanted to thank you for your awesome ministry. Your books about Jewish evangelism, apologetics, made a huge, huge impact on our ministry here in Israel.
Not only Jesus has made a comeback, but also your mustache.
Two young men in Israel, Eitan and Moti, doing an amazing job with their ministry, taking a lot of the materials in our five-volume series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, putting it out in popular form for Israelis. And on a special video, they put on special mustaches to honor me as well. Can I share with you, as we're bringing you these words of encouragement this week, what my friend Jonathan Bernis had to say? You've seen him on Jewish Voice broadcast. I was so blessed by what he shared with our callers just in the last couple of weeks.
We've known each other, as you just said, about three decades. And I have watched you in the last 30 years being raised up by God as a voice that has spoken truth, prophetic truth, first to our Messianic Jewish movement to stay on track, challenging Jewish people to believe in their own scriptures and their own Messiah, Yeshua Jesus, debating rabbis boldly in this question of whether Jesus is our promised Messiah, and then also step into this incredible battle for the biblical values of our nation. And I believe God has handpicked you as a revolutionary, as a spiritual revolutionary, to raise up an army that, and I believe it's the last days too, Mike. That's my personal belief as I look at scriptures and look at the world around us. And I think there's very few people. You have a unique calling and voice to stand up for biblical values and to raise up an army that will speak forth the word of God. And I've watched it happen, Mike. I've seen the fruit, and we're going to continue to support you. And I'd urge everyone listening to get behind this ministry in this man in a tangible way, whatever you can do, because it takes money to pay for these radio bills and other expenses. But this is a prophetic voice that God has raised up for this hour. So I'm firmly behind you, Mike, and I hope others will join the rallying cry and support you.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan Bernis, for sharing that with our listeners. And one more word from Dan Juster. Dan, a pioneer leader in the Messianic Jewish movement, a spiritual father to many in the movement. We've worked together for decades, as well as have worked with John Bernis for decades. And Dan had this to say to our listening audience that deeply blessed me as well.
You know, I've known you, Mike, for over 30 years, and I do not know anyone who is more biblically based in everything that you seek to do. And yet, you take that biblical basis, and you don't just take it on a theoretical basis for developing theology. You put practical feet to it, and you find yourself on the cutting edge of the most important issues of our day, whether it be replacement theology in Israel or apologetics approving that Jesus, Yeshua, really is the Messiah, the divine Son of God and rose from the dead, whether you're dealing with the destruction of gender distinctions today and the importance of traditional marriage and family values, the importance of the compromises in the church to not call for revival and a holiness of life, the hyper-grace issues, which are such a disaster. There is nobody that's hitting all those most important points in calling for the reformation that you're calling both in the church and society. So you know where I stand in my relationship with you, Mike. I endorse what you're doing everywhere I go, and everybody hears a lot about it.
All right, to participate with us, call now 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Help us meet our goals during the Share-a-thon broadcast. 1-800-278-9978 or Go to the website, AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org. And my thank you gift for your gift of any size, a wonderful little mini book, The Seven Secrets of the Real Messiah.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So I actually have a lot of different questions ranging on all different types of topics. I just wanted to say that I am a member of the congregation of Temple Beth Torah. The rabbi of that congregation is Michael Gold, who you actually debated with. So I grew up a Jewish man. I'm conservative. I'm actually 16 years old. My Hebrew name is Israel, and my whole life I've been trying to find the truth. And your videos have helped me out a lot, so I thank you for that.
That young man, Isaac, has told us now he is a committed believer in Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. And that is partly through our YouTube channel, the videos we have up there debating rabbis and others. And we tackle the cultural issues as well. We have this in video form, but here's the audio of my interacting with Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert, very, very funny guy, well known on Comedy Central for years now, has taken over late night programming for David Letterman. And the other day, he took issue with the slippery slope argument. It's one that we've made many times, that once you redefine marriage, there really is a slippery slope. Once you redefine marriage, you render it meaningless. So he mocked that idea in his typical way. And he talked about Representative Pete King, who said, look, with the new redefinition of marriage by the Supreme Court, a man could marry his lawnmower. And, of course, got a big laugh out of that. And then made reference to Dr. Ben Carson, presidential candidate Ben Carson. Listen to what Stephen Colbert had to say about Dr. Carson's comments.
And Congressman King's not the only one who believes gay marriage has opened the matrimonial floodgates. So does former doctor and future former candidate Ben Carson, who recently warned that if same-sex couples are allowed to marry, then more groups will also want the right to marry. Yeah, not gay groups, some other groups. You know, the ones who turn up every year for that crazy other groups pride parade.
Well, exactly. They are part of the gay pride parade, the polyamorous, the one who talked about loving relationships with multiple partners and who according to Newsweek a few years ago, are at least 500,000 families in America. That's a lot of people. And they are saying, what about us? How come our relationships are not recognized? How come we can't get the benefits? And they're at the gay pride parades. And hang on, what about the polygamists? What about the cast of sister wives? These folks, reality, right? A guy with his multiple wives, they went to the state of Utah and appealed and took issue with some of the laws against polygamy. And one of the laws was already reversed. And no sooner had the Supreme Court made its ruling on June 26th than polygamists were going to the court saying, what about us? So those groups are hardly hidden, hardly unknown. They are out there. All right, Stephen Colbert continues.
Problem is, you got people who don't want to issue the marriage licenses or bake cakes for gay couples. So who's going to provide party planning for Steve King's nightmare marriage scenarios? I will. Because where some see a slippery slope to depravity, I see a slippery slope to some cash. That's why tonight I'm proud to introduce Stephen Colbert's all-inclusive wedding cake toppers.
Now, here's the funny thing about him. I haven't followed his career that carefully, but on Comedy Central, he played the fool. That's the way he put it now. He actually speaks of being a devout Catholic. But he played the fool. He was the news commentator that obviously in a funny way wasn't getting things, but his points were getting across very loudly and clearly. And yet the points that he's mocking with this whole slippery slope thing, I think I said Pete King, Steve King, the quotes that he's mocking, it's almost like he's now going out of his way to prove the very points he's mocking. All right, let me jump in, and we're going to go right back to that video that you're hearing on audio. We are producing high-quality videos. As you're listening to the radio show, you'll hear the audio, but then we'll put this together with high-quality video, interacting with the TV program, with the speaker, and then with our own animation and graphics. Check it out. Go to our YouTube channel. Go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on the YouTube icon and just search for Colbert, or just go to AskDrBrown.org, search for Colbert. You'll find it in our digital library. Let's go to the rest of this video audio. Let's see where he goes with his cake toppers for wedding cakes.
Naturally, you've got the traditional topper. You got one man and one woman, okay? And then you got the non-traditional traditionals. You got two men, and you got two women, and you've got two women and one man.
Oh, okay, he's joking about this. But remember, one public opinion poll indicated that just in a few years, American acceptance of polygamy has gone from 7% to 14%. Tell me that's not part of the media influence, the same media that was celebrating Will and Grace. I mean, that's the old days, the same media that was celebrating Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. That's the old days. It's now celebrating Big Love and Sister Wives and My Five Wives. So he's joking about it, but these are real life issues. And we haven't even mentioned Islam and their desire for polygamy. So he goes on, and here's where it gets really interesting, because he's mocking stuff, but he's well enough informed. I'm wondering, he's mocking stuff, but he knows it actually exists. If he doesn't, we'll set the record straight. Let's see.
You got two men, one woman. You got an all-female thruple, okay? And you got the classic three women, two men, where one man is married to two of the women and the other man is married to the other woman, but his wife is also married to one of the other two wives. This fall on TLC.
Okay, time out. There is a lesbian thruple. I mean, this has happened more than once, presumably, but this was reported a lot. These three women in gown. What, I now pronounce you wife. How does that work? With three women in their white gowns. I think two of the dads walk them down the aisle. A thruple. And then I read about it. They were going to have a kid, obviously with some outside help, and they're going to homeschool their kid. And then three guys in Thailand. How's that work? I pronounce you husband. Their pictures that were put out on social media just went viral. And three guys, a male thruple, a gay thruple, a lesbian thruple. And then he joked about this, what was it, two men, three women, whatever it was. It looks like a polyamorous relationship there. They're coming away on TLC. Actually, already on Showtime. Married and Dating, a reality TV show on polyamory. So he's joking about it. People are like, oh, yeah, right, that's going to happen. It has already happened. And my suspicion would be he knows full well all this has already happened, that he's even poking fun while mocking our side. He's poking fun at reality as well. Well, there's more to come.
But if Steve King and Ben Carson are right, then I have to be ready for any eventuality. Which is why tonight I'm also introducing cake toppers for a man and a ghost, a man and a box turtle.
All right. Again, very funny. And the box turtle one, he knows full well there was a comment that someone had put in a senator's speech. He never made a congressional speech about a man could marry a box turtle. But that became a famous quote. No, Riley, you could marry a box turtle, whatever. So the fact is, though, here, I've got it. Let's see. Woman marries a dog in India. Yeah, actually had a wedding ceremony. That's India. Ah, woman marries a dog in England. Wedding ceremony. How about in India, a woman marries a snake? And how about in Israel, a woman married a dolphin? I'm not making this up. He's joking about it. This is actually happening. There's still more. Let's go.
The Eiffel Tower and Dora the Explorer. Okay.
Ah, how about Erica Eiffel? You say, what in the world are you talking about? The woman who married the Eiffel Tower. There is even a documentary done about her. These people have a fetish towards objects. It's called an object fetish, something like that. She actually married the Eiffel Tower. Is that why he even asked that? Dora the Explorer and the Eiffel Tower. Erica Eiffel. Look it up. I kid you not. All right, a little bit more.
How can I not provide a topper for Steve King and his lawnmower?
All right. How about the man who wanted to marry his computer? This happened within the last year. You say he's got problems. I agree he's got problems. But hey, you talk about marrying a lawnmower, you talk about marrying a computer. Oh, but Stephen, you left one thing out. You forgot about it. It's happened, I know at least three cases now of a woman marrying herself. One woman said she'd be married by 40 and it didn't work out. She married herself. I mean, you get bridesmaids and the whole bit. There's another woman, she just had it with broken relationships, was divorced, and had it with broken relationships, didn't want to depend on someone else to take her out to dinner or someone else to get her a gift. She decided to marry herself. The only sane words spoken that day were her 11-year-old son's words, who said, "I love you, Mom, but you're embarrassing me." So, Stephen Colbert, thank you, sir, for proving our point. Once you redefine marriage, you render it meaningless. All right, we're back. If you would like to see more videos like that, your gift would go a long way in helping us realize that goal to put these out for you every single day. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978 with your one-time gift, or go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. More to come on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, Mike, deep affection for you and your family, and how you and I and this are phenomenal religious differences. We're brothers. You're my Jewish brother, and that will never change. And you're my brother under God, and that will never change. And, you know, I want to tell you something. And I say this colleague to colleague. You've become an extremely talented radio host. I listen to your show a lot. And it has a verb, excitement, passion, quick pace, engaging interviews, very devoted listeners and callers. And thank you for having me, Mike. God bless you.
Yeah, my friend Rabbi Shmuley, one of the most fascinating friendships, is he's an Orthodox Jewish rabbi and so opposes my faith in Jesus. And we are dear friends, and we are blood brothers. And that was a call he made to our broadcast some time back that we replayed during the special Share-a-thon week. You know, folks have this to say about me because we're on the front lines and we're attacked day and night. This man is an ignorant, hateful, and biased racist, a hypocrite of the highest caliber who should only appeal to those who blindly believe what they're told to and lack the intelligence to research facts and develop ideas and opinions of their own. Leading gay activist said of me, the madman fully understands that he only has to create a hostile climate to inflame the most unstable of his thugs, and they will eventually provoke the type of confrontation that this pathological monster deeply desires. And how do we respond? We respond with love, we respond with prayers, and we respond with truth. A pastor on Long Island said, Mike, I want to do a presentation, but can you give me a 5-minute video from my congregation on historical evidence for the death and resurrection of Jesus? And because we love the truth and we love to get people to think and research and study, we put this special video together for this pastor to play in his church. You know, it's one thing for us as believers to say, I know Jesus saved me. I know he's real. He lives within my heart. And obviously that's the most powerful thing, to experience him for yourself. But what about just from a scholarly viewpoint? What about from a skeptic's viewpoint? Can we know if Jesus really existed? It's interesting that Professor Bart Ehrman, who's a famous agnostic New Testament scholar, wrote a book saying, yes, of course Jesus existed. All the evidence is there that he existed. And this man is a famous agnostic who even attacks the New Testament. So he's saying, of course, the evidence says Jesus existed. So let me lay out a few things as to why we're so confident historically, from a scholarly viewpoint, that Jesus lived and died and rose from the dead. The first thing is that the New Testament documents are the most wonderfully preserved documents from the ancient world. You have things about ancient Roman history and ancient Greek history, and the only manuscripts we have are from hundreds and hundreds of years later, and sometimes they're only a handful. With the New Testament, the earliest manuscripts are within a generation of the death of the authors of the New Testament. That's kind of unprecedented. And we have thousands of manuscript copies. And even though between them there are tiny copyist errors and things like that, and you know, one thing would spell Mr. M-I-S-T-E-R and another M-R dot, the fact is they're in essential harmony on all the foundations. That's amazing. So it's the best attested book from the ancient world. Not only so, but scholars have seen that the accounts we have in the Gospels are eyewitness accounts. And Luke talked to the eyewitnesses and researched and got the information to get things accurate. So it's not like, say, Muhammad, hundreds and hundreds of years later, claiming to get revelation from God and telling us what happened in Jesus' day or telling us what happened in Moses' day. These were the eyewitnesses. And there's even something called the criterion of embarrassment. In other words, if something in the document is embarrassing to the hero of the story, you don't expect to see it. When you read the ancient accounts of the great heroes of old, the mythological accounts, they don't have the blemishes and the faults. And yet, these eyewitness accounts tell you all the failings of the disciples. Why would you do that if you're launching a movement, talk about all the flaws and failings of the disciples? When Jesus dies, they don't get it. They flee. When he rises, they don't believe it initially until they see him. Why put all this in there? It's because they're accurate accounts of what really happened. Now, as far as outside sources, remember, this was not like today. You didn't have people with cell phones reporting immediately. You didn't have people tweeting stuff out. You didn't have CNN with 24-hour news. So the historians wouldn't write about things in their own day, the great historians of old. They would generally wait, and then they would look back at the earlier days and write their histories about what happened. So when we begin to have attestation of Jesus dying, or this one called Christ, some didn't know what to make of the name, with him dying, and then reports of his resurrection or his early followers being devoted to him and willing to die for him, you have the outside sources, the outside Greek and Roman sources. You even have outside Jewish sources that attest to Jesus dying, even Jewish leadership giving him over to die at the time of the Passover. So these are non-believing sources, some of them hostile, yet they report the same essential truths, the foundations of our faith. And not only so, the idea that in ancient Rome, you would start a new religion where your founder dies a criminal's death, that was a scandal of all scandals. Then, to the Jewish world, expecting a Messiah who would rule and reign to preach this, these were stumbling blocks. You don't invent that, and you don't invent a virgin birth. You find me another religion where the founder comes from a virgin birth. These things would be scandalous, as if you were covering up some kind of immorality. These are not the kind of things you invent. And then if the whole thing is a myth, you don't die for it. You're not tortured to death for it because you know the whole thing is a myth. So all of these things are looked at just in an academic, serious way so that people say, yeah, the evidence would say that Jesus existed, that he was known for healings and exorcisms, that he died, that his followers claimed that he rose from the dead. None of these things have ever happened in this way with any other religion, especially with eyewitness testimony. And then there's the last thing. There's the prophetic word, the prophetic word. You say, well, how do we know he was born in Bethlehem? Prophet said so, but how do we know it happened? We could argue about that. How do we know he was a miraculous birth? We could argue about that. But the prophets also indicated in the Old Testament that the Messiah would be rejected by his own people and then would be received by the Gentile world before his own people would receive him back, and that he had to come and die before the second temple was destroyed. So how do you plan that out? How do you make that happen? Second Temple was destroyed in 70 AD. How do you make these things happen and then you get rejected by your own people and then accepted by more than 2 billion people around the world? You can't quite manufacture that. All the evidence says what the New Testament tells us really happened. So not only are we sure in our hearts, we're sure in our minds also. All right, that video is part of our digital library. It is on our YouTube channel. And we have hundreds of equipping videos that we prepared for you, and hundreds of articles, and thousands of hours of radio broadcasts. Go to the website, AskDrBrown.org, click on the digital library, explore what's there. You'll be blown away by the material that we've put together to help you serve the Lord more effectively and be a world changer. So together, we're making a difference. But this is a joint effort. None of what we do is independent. We stretch our small staff to the limit to put out the maximum that we can, but we can only do it with your help. Help amplify my voice to go across the nation, around the world, even more loudly, so I can be your voice. Together, we can make a difference in so many millions of lives. But I ask you now, stand with us. Your gift will be greatly appreciated. Call 1-800-278-9978 to end the Share-a-thon in the most effective possible way. 1-800-278-9978 or go to AskDrBrown.org, and we will send you a special gift of appreciation, the mini book, Seven Secrets of the Real Messiah.